It's that time on the radio where we listen to Bill Blevins from Blevins Franks. How are we today, Bill?
Very good, Howard. Thank you. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Well, we're going to talk about making your money lasting as long as you do, unless that's a little bit morbid on the day-to-day. But people are living longer these days. It sounds like good news, but can we and the state afford it? So let's look at what the state is going to do first, Bill. What impact could longevity have on the state's finances?
Oh, I don't think really that politicians have faced up to the economic risks facing most economies within Europe. But let's just focus on the UK for a moment. We have a decreasing birth rate. We have an increasing elderly population. I've said this, I think, before. There are now more people aged over 65 than there are under the age of 16. The UK pension fund is not a pot of money. It's a pay-as-you-go scheme. The people who pay their national insurance contributions are today, those in work, are actually putting the money into the system that then comes out the other end almost immediately to pay pensions. It's not quite as slick as that, but you get the point I'm trying to make, is that this isn't a pension fund as such. It's a pay-as-you-go scheme. It's the pay by the people working now, and then it goes out to the people who are on pension. Now, with improving healthcare, improving nutritional understanding, people are expected to live longer. Life expectancy is now several years greater, just more than it was 20 years ago. And the simple fact of the matter is pensions are going to have to be paid for longer. You can understand the conundrum. The demographic is such that I believe it to be one of the greatest economic risks facing the United Kingdom. And to some extent, Howard, that is why a level of immigration is required into the UK. And I'm not trying to make a political point here at all, but immigration coming into the UK means that there will be more people paying national insurance, and they will have presumably contributions to make for a long time before they get to take out of that pot. So the fact is that the consequences on the state are quite serious. Now, does that mean that your pension is secure? I'm not sure it does. We all know that the governments around Europe, France has faced gilets jaunes simply because they were trying to extend the retirement age. The UK have already taken some steps to extend the retirement age. I was speaking to a lady yesterday who had expected to get her pension when she was 62. She now has to wait until she's 66. Is that the last of the deferrals, pension retirement age? It's been mooted several times, and it could go up to the age of 70 for males and 68 for women. Or it may be that they decide to reduce the level of income that they pay in retirement. It's a serious risk now that if you are depending at all on the state to fund your pension, unfortunately, I don't think it's quite as secure as you might have wished. And that's why it's important to consider how you fund for your own personal pension arrangements, so that you have got some certainty over your income in your retirement years. And remember now, with people tending to retire earlier, or even if you do retire at 65, you could very well be alive for another 30 years. And that requires a huge pot of money to be able to fund you an income that will continue to give you the life to which you have become accustomed, or to which you expect in retirement.
Yeah. So do you think, Bill, that this could lead to governments having to increase taxation to pay for their increasing welfare and pension costs?
I can give you a very short answer to that, Howard. The answer is absolutely so. There is no question that in order to fund the pensions liability, which has already been forecast by economists to be considerably greater in the future than it is now, it has to be paid out of the public exchequer. How are they going to get that? Well, they've got to increase taxes on national insurance. It's the only way, really, apart from borrowing money, and that's not an acceptable means of raising funds these days. So there is no question, in my view, and it is just my personal view, that taxation will have to increase, or national insurance will have to increase, or both, simply to fund the ongoing liability the government have got to pensions. They will also have to confront the pension age, and they'll also have to confront the amounts that will be paid under the pensions arrangements. And the combination of all those things will lead them to, I'm certain, have to fund some of it from taxation, the rest of it from reducing the likely benefits or age at which you get your pension.
Yeah. So what's your advice now to retired expatriates on how to protect themselves from possible higher taxes?
Well, I think for a large number of the UK nationals who listen to this programme, Howard, they are reasonably, many of them reasonably well off and have provided their own personal pension. And I think what you have to do now is to take the view that you need to sit down and bring together your personal wealth, the savings you have, the portfolio of investments you have, the personal in pension arrangements that you have set up over a number of years, and bringing into that the UK state pension in an holistic way, looking at all the various elements of your personal financial circumstances, work out quite what it is you need to do to ensure that you will have an adequate income for the remainder of your retirement life, and indeed that your pensions, your personal pensions, are protected from taxation. We talked about using CureOps last week, and trying to work out who is going to be the beneficiary of your pension fund at the end of your life. Now, this is a very complex area. It's not an area for DIY pensions, oblique tax planning. It's something you need independent and impartial expert advice on, because within the Blevins Franks organisation, the qualifications and the regulatory control that exists over our specialist pensions advisors is such that they will bring together a plan of action that will give you the best opportunity to ensure that your pension is secure for the long term.
Well, Bill, let's move on to more personal implications now. The longer we live, the longer we need our savings to last. So is inflation a major concern?
Oh, I think it is. It's one of those silent, wicked little things, inflation, that creeps into your pot of money and gradually erodes it at first at what seems like an innocuous rate in current circumstances, but which over a period of time can take a huge chunk of your capital and therefore of your ability to fund a pension. I mean, it's a question of, you don't, no one wants just enough each month to live on comfortably, do they, in retirement? I mean, perhaps, you know, one looks towards spending a little bit extra to afford some luxuries in retirement. And the fact is, as we age, we have to allow for a fairly substantial increase in our outgoings in relation to a whole raft of things, not least of all private medical insurance, for example. And inflation is one of those important factors. If you ignore it, ends up biting you very hard indeed. As the cost of living arises year after year, the value of your savings and income would be significantly reduced. If, for example, you were to spend £5,000 a month, assuming an inflation rate of, say, 3%, which is probably much lower than the real inflation rate that you are experiencing, in 10 years' time, you're going to need nearly €7,000 a month just to maintain the same spending. And in 20 years' time, if you only recently retired, it's highly likely you'll live for 20 years, you'll need virtually double the €5,000 you're taking now, something in excess of €9,000 a year, just simply with a 3% inflation rate. So whilst 3% sounds low and somewhat innocuous, over a period of time, it ends up taking away, if you like, half of your spending power over a 20-year period.
Yeah. Well, of course, Bill, many retired people favour lower risk, safer investments like bank deposits, but could being very cautious backfire?
I think, well, I wouldn't quite say backfire, but I mean, it's important if you're going to want to make sure that you outperform inflation, that you take a modest degree, at least, of investment risk. But it's a question for every individual as to what level of investment risk you feel you can tolerate. Now, it's very difficult for an individual to make that judgment objectively in relation to their own funds. It's often one of the difficult things that Blevins Franks, when advising clients, have to confront. And that is to go through a whole process of obtaining information from the client, and then, in as scientific a way as possible, assess what income is required for the medium to longer term future and make sure that is secure. And then whatever excess capital is available after that, has to be put to work to make sure that it maintains its spending power in relation to the actual rate of inflation that the individual is living with. And you can only determine that in each individual case by talking to the individual about the things they spend their money on. And in the circumstances, it's highly likely that if you simply take the money and do what most people think of as low risk and stick it in the bank, you're, for the foreseeable future, for the long-term foreseeable future, in my view, you're going to be picking up very low, 1 to 2% max interest on your money. And with inflation running in your particular case, let's say at 3 or 4%, you're simply eroding your capital year by year. There are times when it is more risky being out of the investment markets, whether that's bonds or equities. It's more risky being out than being in. And if you have a satisfactory income, and after you have provided for your income and you put some capital into an immediate access account, if you like, to cover for a rainy day, then the balance of your capital can comfortably sit there for the medium term to take the advantage of accruing over time and making sure that your capital is keeping pace with inflation so that your income over a long period of time is protected against the erosion that will otherwise come if you don't invest in something which grows. Bank accounts and building society do not grow. When they're paying 2% and inflation is 4%, you're still losing a lot of money year by year.
Okay, Bill, so that's one step you've explained how people can take to invest enough to earn enough to comfortably beat inflation. But again, they don't want to take on too much risk. There's a little proviso there.
No, I think it's an understandable conflict. But the truth is there has to be some compromise in the sense that if you want to take no investment risk and acknowledge that inflation is going on in your personal financial life at 4 or 5%, then you've got to accept the fact that you're going to have less money to spend in the future. What you need to do is to create a sensible, well-balanced financial plan that does not take greater risks than you're prepared to accept, or at least no greater risk than your financial position would permit you to take. And the way in which Blevins Franks would operate in those circumstances is to start out by making sure you do have a nil risk pensions arrangement so far as is possible, that you have capital on deposit to make sure you've got access to capital should you need it in some sort of short-term emergency. And only with excess capital is it possible then to start creating a balanced portfolio, starting at the extreme low risk end of the spectrum. You might have a portion of your investment recommendations in government bonds. You might have a portion of the recommendations in blue chip equities in the UK FTSE 100, for example, where the yield at the moment is around 4% of income in any event going on. You may have some equity in smaller markets, in smaller areas of the stock market in the UK. You may have corporate bonds. But it's bringing together the balance of all those things in a cohesive way. Once the Blevins Franks partner has discussed with you your personal financial circumstances, he will be with you in a partnership, if you like, working out how best the structure of the portfolio can be set so that you are comfortable living with whatever limited risk that takes, but at the same time knowing that you're actually competing to beat the rate of inflation so that your capital is increasing over time rather than decreasing by virtue of inflation.
Yeah. Well, our pensions are obviously important for our financial security through retirement. So should people review their pensions to see if they improve the income, but again, without risking their pension savings?
Absolutely. I mean, most pension funds are understandably, and so they should be, very conservative pots of money. We talked last week, and just to repeat that, QROPS, the Qualifying Recognised Overseas Pension Scheme, whilst the UK is still covered by the rules within the European Union for the transfer of pensions out of a UK pension scheme into a qualifying and recognised overseas pension scheme, that is to say qualifying and recognised by the UK tax authorities, and indeed controlled very substantially by the UK Financial Conduct Authority, who are the regulatory authority for Blevins Franks. So our clients get the highest level of investor protection within those arrangements. But it's also true that if you are in a UK pension scheme Your investment choices are being made for you by the trustee of the pension scheme, generally speaking. There are some exceptions on self-invested personal pensions. But if you transfer your assets to a CuRops, you then have a much greater say. In fact, you have total control over how the investments in your pension fund are structured so that you can invest in euro-denominated assets to take away the currency exchange rate risk that exists with most UK pension funds. And you can select the sort of level of investment risk you're prepared to take with your pension fund. It gives you complete pensions freedom, I might say. So I think it is important. And if you are considering how the future will pan out in relation to your overall personal financial circumstances, including your pension, this might be a very good time to contact Blevins Franks.
Yeah, and the website is an excellent source of information, and there's all the people's bios are up there as well.
Yeah, I think if you go to the Blevins Franks website, it's a very good website, if I may say so myself. It contains a huge amount of information. Some of these radio discussions between us are on there. Articles in the press that we're invited to write are in there. And I'd say most importantly, if you look closely, you will find an office, a Blevins Franks office close to you. Remember, Blevins Franks have been operating in the field of wealth management for nearly 40 years in Spain and France, Portugal, Cyprus. We're well experienced and we'll have come across most of the difficulties facing expatriates much of the time. And we don't have all the answers, I guess, but we have pretty much got most of them.
Well, thank you very much, Bill. It's always a pleasure. We'll talk at the same time next week.
Thanks a lot, Howard. Take care.